checking out, and before I left, the woman there at the register said, "Merry Christmas." It's the same to you. Went through the bank, drive-through. Merry Christmas. Same to you. There is a breakthrough. It's amazing. I'm amazed watching this. A veil has been lifted. There's been an oppression that has been lifted through this season of the election and all that transpired. And the author of this is the Lord Jesus himself. And be clear about this, that this presidential election and all that's going on and the battle still rages, because the battle lines have truly been drawn. And it was through prophetic words, and you can go back, archive this. Kim Clement was calling out Donald Trump's name as president, like Trump shall lead, like back in 2007. Like, it's weird. It's uncanny to watch these videos and these prophetic words that come and the prophecies about him. And there were some things even earlier than that. And then through so many prophetic voices, and that's what really got my attention, because up until then, I'm like, oh God, what? How do you vote this year? Like, wow, this is tough. And I heard that. That awakened me to start hearing what the Lord was doing. And we have our limit, our way of going, here's how the Lord's going to work, and it's not going to look like that, and it's not going to look like this, and he's not going to choose this person, he's not going to choose that person. And the Lord just wants to tap us all on the, you know, on the side of the head and say, I'm God. I choose. I'll do what I'll do. And he chose and found a man, a Cyrus. If you look in Isaiah 45, this is the 45th president. Isaiah 45 is the prophecy Isaiah gives 120 years before a man named Cyrus is brought to deliver Israel. And he is a king that does not, he's a man that does not know God when he comes in. And the prophetic word about this president is that he's got hot blood. That's one of the things that Kim Clement said prophetically. He goes, He's a man with hot blood, but I'm going to use him. And he's going to pray. And by the time he gets into the White House and in his presidency, he's going to learn to pray and cry, call out to me. And you're going to have a president in the White House that is praying. And all this prophetic stuff. And I just awakened and started hearing the different voices of the Lord. And I've come to a place that's the first time in my life. I'm 62 years old. First time in my entire life that in my heart I'm making a covenant commitment to our president-elect. Like, that's how deeply I feel about this. Like, I am making a covenant. Just like you enter into a marriage, this is my president. And he's not perfect, and he's not my pastor. He doesn't set the moral tone for my life. But I'm making covenant with him in my heart to stand and pray for him. And I want to be clear about this. I stood up here, and I have people to witness this, without complaint, without anything negative, and prayed for Barack Obama for 8 years. And prayed that he would be blessed, that the Lord would give him wisdom, the Lord would show him how to lead. I did that faithfully. I didn't look, I didn't watch, I couldn't. But I prayed, I stayed in a good place for 8 years. But now someone has come in that I'm like, I am so awakened, and I'm watching our whole culture awaken. I know there's a lot of conflict. We have the answer for that. We have the answer for that healing. We have the answer to bring this back together. Turn with me in your Bibles if you have them, or I'll just read. Let me get my phone working here. And this is Luke chapter 2. And at the end of Shepherds on the Hill, and suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, in verse 15, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So you see right away, they witness this event, and then they go to see this thing so that they can be eyewitnesses of this. And they come with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child that they'd heard from the angels. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told. So we have this mandate from heaven. Peace, goodwill towards men. That is heaven's attitude towards the earth, towards the world, is an attitude of goodwill, is an attitude of peace. But interesting, I found and then they go. And I believe there's this time that it is a time. I'm so convicted about this. I've been talking about this, and that a spirit of political correctness. It is a spirit. It is a established fact in every time that governments are trying to take over, like communist and socialist governments. This thing comes up, and this spirit rises up and starts to control what people say. You understand? There's a major battle going on right now about. It's a challenging the First Amendment, the free speech. You understand, there is a war going on. Facebook right now is in several lawsuits. It bless my heart if the whole thing goes down. It could. Because they are being mandated by the powers that be, and we're way beyond people like presidents and politicians. There are other powers that be that are beyond that. Mandating that they monitor and they edit, and as soon as certain words come up, they pop it up, they pop it off, they filter it. You can say a lot of bad things and that doesn't get filtered, but as soon as you use key words, I mean, it's happening right now. And this is that same spirit of political correctness. You say what we say, you say what's correct, you don't say what's not correct. And as we went through this process of this election, and I was uncomfortable with Donald Trump, just the way he talked in the debates. I haven't watched presidential debates for so long because I can't stomach them. And I was leery of watching any of these, and I finally started to dial in, and he made me uncomfortable the way he was talking. He really did. I was uncomfortable with it. You're not playing by the rules. You're not being nice. At a certain point, ask a question, and I was real uncomfortable with how he answered, and then I went, "Oh my God, I am under this thing that I think that someone should cooperate, be fair, but the rules aren't fair that you're supposed to play under." And I realized I was uncomfortable because he was like, "I'm not playing your game." Finally, someone comes along and says, "I'm not playing this game." And he's been breaking the rules ever since. And I realize I'm under this spirit. I'm under this as a Christian. I'm under this as a believer. I've been afraid to say things. I've been afraid to stand up for things. I've been afraid to say what I really believe or how I feel. And I'm not the only one. There have been a lot of believers. Do you understand? The Christian community is actually still the largest percentage of the community. There are more of us that believe that abortion is wrong. There's a higher percentage of us than that are pro-abortion. And once we break our silence, those things can be changed. Actually, not that difficult. But there's this feeling, oh my, it can't be changed. We can't violate people's rights. You never have the right to murder somebody, never, never. And if you don't think abortion's murder, go watch some YouTube videos. Just go ahead. I dare you. I double dare you. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Amen. That's heaven's intention. Peace. I ran across an interesting passage this morning. I don't know, I lose track of time. One of these mornings, Phyllis and I were sitting early in the morning reading and looking. And it's Romans 16:20. Actually, let me read it out of my Passion Translation. You remember the scripture? And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. We even had, years and years ago, we even had a little song that we sang, you know. It was kind of a rap song. I don't know even what, you know. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. You know, clap, whatever. What's that? Yeah, yeah, is Brady here? No, he's probably not even here. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's in the cry room. That's probably where he needs to be. Passion Translation. And the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. And the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. And I read that for the first time. I read it again for the first time. And I laughed. I went, huh. The God of peace will soon crush Satan, smash Satan. The God of peace will soon, and Brian Simmons says, he will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. Doesn't really sound that peaceful. Like, does that not sound like the definition of an oxymoron? The God of peace will pound Satan under your feet. Like, and the footnotes, interesting, the Greek word suntribo, it's Greek, of course, I wouldn't know the word. It means to beat up someone to a jelly pulp. Razzleberry dressing, you know, like cranberry sauce. Something that's just been beat to where it's just jelly. In order for there to be peace, someone needs to wage a war. Something needs to be fought. Now, we're in a real dilemma because we're not allowed to fight like they fight. We're not. Earlier this year, Danny Silk that came out with a message about discern the spirit that's going on that you're, you know, encountering in a person, and do not engage in that spirit. Discern it, and then don't participate in it. Don't function in the same spirit. In other words, if someone's angry at you, you may experience this out on the road, you're driving, someone blows their horn. You were fine and peaceful till they did that, just the way they blew their horn. And you're like, really? Now, how do you know what they're thinking when they blew their horn? Because every horn beep sounds the same. How did you know? Why would you think? Because it might have been a happy beep, like, hey, beep, happy to see you, God bless you. Could have been. So you discern the spirit, then you decide, you make a choice because you're a powerful person, what spirit you're going to function in. This is a big challenge, isn't it? Because the gospel of the kingdom does not look like this kingdom. It doesn't function in the same thing. It's actually better. It's actually more powerful. And we're called to be in that. But we must break this silence of never speaking. And I have been perfecting this and working on this. And even through in the aftermath of the election, encountering people that were angry and offended and coming back at things. So easy to jump in that thing and go back at it. This is the bad part of Facebook. It's so easy to do that. Actually, temptation, how do you not when someone fires at you, or says something offensive, or says something that you just want to come back, fight? And so in one of these situations that was very, very sensitive, you have this decision. Are we going to make peace or are we going to make war? Am I going to create connection or am I going to create distance? And I'm pretty good at creating distance, so that comes natural. So I have to work, I have to pay attention to this. I'm like, I can't just go with my proneness. How do I break my silence and stop being silent? Because I've done that a lot of times and a lot through the years. Just be quiet. Just let other people speak. Let other people fight the fight. I'm just not going to engage. That's maybe smart sometimes, but at some point, it's not okay to just stay silent. How do I break that silence, give good information about myself, not hold back? And so in this one incident, I wrote an email and I prayed and asked the Lord for direction. Imagine that. And I really want all of you to do that. It's not okay to be silent anymore. Do you understand what we almost lost? I don't think you do. We were so close to losing. I'm not kidding. I think we're only a few years away from losing all of our freedoms, losing a lot, major. And the war is still on for that. It's not okay to be silent, but it's not okay to act like them either. So we have to work this out, don't we? So we have to find a way. Number one, you ask yourself the question, do I care? At the moment, I just want to rip their head off. You may have feelings, that's okay. You're human. That's cool. That's all right. You're allowed to have emotions. But you're not allowed to just do and say what you want to do. That has to go. And this is a message that's coming from Bethel and the leaders in Bethel as well, and other leaders. And I'm watching everybody, and some people are being more careful about this than others, but it's not an excuse to just cast off restraint. We need to have wisdom, because we can't just, you may win the battle, but you're losing the war. We must learn how to speak, but speak intelligently, speak compassionately, tell your story, give the reasons why you have your story, what your story is. And this is the message and the word that's coming from different leaders. Trey Gowdy's also saying this he's a congressman from South Carolina, a very devout believer, fighting battles in Congress as he's leading the hearing committees. But all he can do is do reports and do investigations, turns those reports over. He has no power to prosecute anything. And he's a patriot fighting for the Constitution and fighting for our leaders to uphold the Constitution. And his message, and I heard it again in another video that he shared. You want to make a difference? You want to be a person of influence? You need to speak what you believe, you need to decide what you believe, and you need to be able to explain why you believe it. How did you come to this? Listen, this thing, political correctness, is just the tip of the iceberg. It's not by accident. They want to tell you how to think. They don't want to teach you how to think. They want to tell you how to think. They don't want to tell you what to think. And that's not our calling. We have, as for me, I've set my king. King Jesus. I've set the one. I have a story. I have encountered a God. I have encountered the Creator. And I have shared recently that this was one of the paradigm things to understand about people that you really need to identify. Do I, first of all, and does that person that I'm dealing with or this people group, do they understand, do they believe that there's a Creator and that they are the created? I believe there's a Creator. I believe that I am the created. I believe that the Creator has expressed himself and defined who he is and who his son is. I believe that with all my heart. That changes everything. That's my platform. That's where I stand. I will die for that. I will die for that. I'll give my life for that. That is worthy of giving my life for. There is a Creator. I believe that he exists. I believe that I'm a creation. I believe that he has explained himself, that he has defined himself and what is good and what is bad. Definition is there. If I don't believe in that, if I don't believe there's a Creator, if I don't believe I'm created, if I believe I've only evolved, then I don't believe that there is a law that is higher than me, commands, words. I believe that I have to make these laws and rules by myself. And so culture decides what is right and wrong. And we're at war over this very issue. People that believe there's a Creator and that he has explained himself and defined himself, that you cannot do this halfway. You cannot say, oh yeah, I believe there's a God. I believe he's vague. He has many sons. There are many avenues. No, if you believe in the Creator, there's only one. He only has one son. There's only one door. There's not multiples. I don't choose that. I believe in this Creator. I believe that he has defined himself. I believe that he's explained himself. I believe he's given the manufacturer's handbook. He is defined. Everything from beginning to it is defined. I don't have to decide what moral authority is. That's defined. I don't have to decide what sexuality is. I don't need to find that for myself. It's defined. It's explained. It changes everything if you come to and you understand this is who I am. I have encountered the Creator. I've encountered his son, the Savior. And I live my life for him. This is my premise. This is what I function in. It changes everything. And so when I encounter people that are under that, I have to understand they're not functioning on the same thing I am. I'm okay with that until they start telling me what I can do, what I can't do. Lance Wallnau, in his pastor, one of his last books that I was really blessed with, God's Chaos Candidate, he was one of the ones that had a revelation about who Donald Trump was from the Lord. And he's the one that pointed out this difference, and when I saw it, I went, oh my gosh, that's it. That's it. That's the watershed. I was telling in another story that he goes to college campuses. This is a Christian, godly man that is encouraging Christians to be vessels of influence in our culture. Doesn't want anybody dead. Doesn't beat his wife in public. He's a godly man. Walks onto a campus, gets booed just because he's there. Picketed. He was in another situation doing something and working with a man that was gay. It's like, okay, no big problem. He wasn't threatening him. He wasn't being unkind. It's like, clearly this person decided they were gay. They wanted to be, they were like, and he's interacting with them like, I don't hate you. I'm not going to be against you. I don't agree with this, but I am not going to target you, shoot you, do whatever. The man finally approaches him. He says, I'm offended by your tolerance of me. Lance looks at him like, and here were the words. And I say this because this sums it up. He goes, I don't want your intolerance. I don't want your tolerance. I want your endorsement. I don't want your tolerance. I want your endorsement. That's why I say we've come very close to losing it all. This massive migration. I'm getting into all this because this is life or death, folks. We must break our silence. It is time for the sons of God to rise up. We need to come alive, and we need to get it right this time, because the church has gotten it wrong mostly. They've been normally part of the problem with their hypocrisy, with doing it wrong and not being religious, but not bringing the true kingdom. In France right now, and actually all of Europe right now is in huge jeopardy of losing everything. You know why? Because they've allowed this huge migration to come in. Many Muslims. It'd be fine, except they've got an agenda. When you have 15-year-old boys, you have men coming across the line that are saying they're 15-year-olds, but they're actually 22-year-old terrorists, and there are a lot of them. They're changing the landscape of the cities. I know it's not on your spin news media that you're watching. They don't report this. You know there were riots going on for the last few months outside of Paris? We don't want to talk about that. These gangs that are coming in, that are migrants, are fighting wars with one another, killing people, raping women and children. If they see skin, they're allowed to rape a woman in their beliefs. It's not safe. They raped a young boy. Here's the explanation. I had a sexual emergency. I didn't know the boy minded. Sorry, rated R, but this is real. This is real. I watched this documentary by Christians. This was just by some women in France, outside of Paris, that are journalists walking around. They're very disturbed at what life has become like. This isn't in southern France. This is in southern Paris, like the southern part of Paris. And whole communities have been taken over by these people. Shops and stores are closing down. The cafes, women are not allowed to go to them. There's not a rule. They're just not wanted, and they're being pressured and forced. This is how bizarre this is. Women anywhere near, remotely near this place, are not wearing makeup. They're not wearing lipstick. They're trying to keep themselves as covered as they can, their skin covered as it can, because they're afraid. Because it was mandated on them to be tolerant and allow this to come in. Now, actually, in a different spirit, that's our mandate. It's not there, it's our mandate. It's our mandate to bring this great gospel where we are not preaching. When we're preaching, there's not male or female, that we're preaching liberation for men and women alike, blacks, Asians, that we are not racist. The Bible's not racist. Our message, the kingdom message, is a message of Luke 2, the shepherds, the announcement of the Savior, peace and goodwill toward men. That's our message. What this looks like, when Kim Snyder was here, if you happen to miss her, it should still be on the podcast. And on Sunday morning, she tells a story of how she's standing right next to a man that is with Black Lives Matter. And he's there, and he's angry, and he's ready to, they're on the verge of breaking out a major, not just demonstration. The demonstration's fine. It's the riots. It's the violence that precedes. And she stands beside him, and she overcomes him with love, wearing this big T-shirt. What's her T-shirt say, Kevin? Free hugs? Free hugs? Free hugs is powerful against this spirit. It is. Discern the spirit. You can't fight it. You can't fight it in the spirit, same spirit. You'll lose. You'll just be two people in a brawl. But our mandate is to come with the gospel of the kingdom, which is to love, but not be silent, which is to bring an answer. See problems in your community? Are you a critical person? Well, you're on the way to solutions. Don't stop at being critical. That's not okay. Become an answer. Do you understand? Let's look at Romans chapter 8. I woke up this morning and I was just asking for direction, and I remember this passage and this chapter. And you'll recognize it's a little different in the Passion Translation, but and in verse 18, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that will soon be unveiled within us. The entire universe waits with excitement, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. The unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. The unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Now, I'm not quite smart enough, whatever, to completely explain this chapter. But as this continues on, verse 20, that was 19. For against his will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequence of human sin. But now with eager expectation, all of creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children when they are glorified. All of creation is waiting for you to step into your place. Can I just tickle your curiosity or whatever it is that makes you tick? Can I intrigue you with a thought? Have we scratched the surface yet of being all that we're called to be? I adjure you. Do not be content with formula Christianity. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, I'm good. As good as those points may be, are you born anew? Like, are you really? Like, I'm just going to give you, I'll just unsettle you a little bit. Like, challenge, question yourself. Am I burning? Am I alive? Or have I been lulled to sleep? Or have I been tranquilized? When a person gets disconnected from their destiny and from their dreams, they shut down. When I hear in a household that a husband is a couch potato, you know that thing? He just comes home and sits on the couch. I'm going to give you the rest of the story on that. I don't need to know anything more. That man has died to his dreams. He's not dreaming anymore. That's what's wrong with him. Whatever's happened, he's given up on being fully alive. He's shut down, and he's just taking a tranquilizer called TV. And we can all go there. It's mesmerizing. You know, that staring thing. But it's socially accepted. It's not okay as we deal with the issues and we are confronted with the issues. I challenge you, let's come up with some answers. Tap into who you are in Christ. I don't think it's been activated. I heard another man talking about there's a huge amount of our DNA that some scientists think is just like junk DNA. I don't believe there's any junk in any of us. What if there are aspects, and I actually am really intrigued by this, aspects of your being that haven't even been awakened yet? Later on in this spirit, this chapter, it talks about praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, many of you have your prayer language. You can pray in the Spirit. How often do you do that? And do you do it with intention? And do you do it realizing things change when I do that? We really need to talk more about this. We've been talking about it more at home, Phyllis and I. On every moment that I realize I'm just going through, I pray in the Spirit for as long as I can focus on doing that. Like, don't know how to pray? That's probably good. Shut your brain off and pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. See what happens. Pray perfect prayers every time. You know, sounds like a sales pitch. Every time, you know, learn how to golf and, you know, get a big score. Every time. We need to encounter the Lord in a fresh way. I've had a lot of encounters in my life with the Lord. It's not a one-time deal. I encountered Jesus in the beginning when I came to him. I cried like a baby. I was 12 years old. I mean, how much sin can you do and how, you know, whatever. I encountered the Savior. It was real. It wasn't up here. I didn't figure it out. I felt called. I was convicted. I went up front. I thought I was a good little church boy that just swore in the woods once in a while. Go out by myself, probably drug my brother out there, said S-H-I-T as loud as I could in the woods. And that was bad. Like, that was really bad. Bad dude. When I finally went through this process of, and in the setting was going up front in church, but that really isn't even relevant. It's just what I did or what happened, where the time I was in. But I asked Jesus into my heart, and I'm like, oh my gosh, boom. You know, it's one of those things, I didn't know how dirty I was. You ever take a shower and you go, oh my gosh, I didn't know how filthy dirty I was, how cruddy I was. Until I started feeling clean again, I thought, oh, that was good. How dirty can you be at 12 years old? Dirty. So I felt the cleansing. I wept for an entire day. Got to get baptized on the same day. An encounter with Jesus. And I've had many, and I need to continue to have them. It's not a one time. It is the beginning. We need to have encounters. We need to have encounters with the Holy Spirit. I had to seek and wait, hope against hope, like my mind was fighting me to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It cost me a lot. I had to fight my head. I'd been taught against it, and I was convinced I was, you know, I was right. You ever think something, believe something, and you're pretty sure you're right? I was dead wrong. I began to believe that. Then I'm like, oh boy, I may have really screwed up because I've really spoken bad about this for a long time, didn't know what I was doing. I might be cooked. I might have committed the unpardonable sin all before I'm 23, whatever, you know, whenever I'm having this, you know, cave-in disaster, out feeding silage to the cows in some barn someplace, you know. I remember exactly. Like, oh my gosh, I may have screwed up. You ever have those moments where you're just like, ooh, I need somebody to tell me I'm going to make it because I don't know. I may have gone too far because I was a passionate little booger and, you know, like, I had a bad attitude. I had a real bad attitude, you know. But I finally encountered this baptism of the Spirit, and it began to transform me. And now with all that religious background that I had, love came in. And a whole different realm opened up. We need to be full on, every one of you. Job to do, you have a place, you have a thing to fulfill. We don't dare miss this. Oh Lord, look at my notes and see how far off the beaten path I am. I'm doing good, Al. Alan's like, that's good. And by the way, have I mentioned, I love being here with all of you. This is a good night. Thank you. I'm glad we're together. We get to celebrate Christmas together again. And this is actually a better turnout. I kind of like this because Christmas Eve ends up being so waning, like, because you're all someplace else. And this was actually a neat thing. Probably, I don't know if we'll ever do it again, but it's neat, you know, since we weren't going to have a Sunday service this week. I love y'all. I love our body. I love our group. We've got great potential. I know there's a total huge dynamic here. We're distracted by many things, a lot of things that come at you. I understand that. I get it. But I don't want to miss anything in the Lord. And we're living in a culture that needs us badly. They need us to show up. They need healed. They're genuinely scared. They don't see the truth. There's blinders. There's attitudes and spirits that lie and deceive. I appeal to you. Get educated. Find the truth. Answer things with true understanding, not just what someone's telling you to think or say. There's a way to do that. Research, get clear about, get intelligent, get educated about things. I've not talked like this. I'm like, whoa, you've never talked like this before. It's so invaluable. It's part of my vision for us as a church, the apostolic vision that I have for us. If you identify needs in your life, you need to go after this. Prioritize getting it fixed. If you have desires and clarity about what you need to become, get equipped in that. Get trained in that. Invest in that. Stop having a mentality that you like, find other resources of income. Don't be just dependent on one thing. Be alive. Live your life. Let your life be unique. My life's unique. The more free I get to just be who I am and do this, 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 and this, I'm like, oh, I'm coming alive. I'll be. Let the problems in your life be the opportunities to develop something new. We're never victims. We're not candidates for welfare. Listen to this is Bill Johnson's last book, God is Good. Thank you, Jenna. I had to steal it back off of Phyllis, but I wrestled it off of her, and I won for a moment. We do this thing. Phyllis, have you seen my book? She pulls it out of her bag. Have you seen Phyllis's bag? Here, this bag. Out it comes. This book? Yeah. Liberty, then, is not doing as we please. It's a big deal. It's for freedom's sake that we've been set free, but let us not use our liberty for licentiousness, for the opportunity to sin. Liberty, then, is not for doing as we please. It's having the ability to do what is right. Real freedom is given to the humble because pride restricts, restrains, and leads to smallness. Liberty is the result of being freed by the Holy Spirit Himself, who demonstrates the fruits and benefits of coming under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What an adventure! You don't have to watch someone else's adventure. You can be on one. And the struggles of your life are only the raw materials for an adventure. That's what they are. I got problems. Good, let's make a cake. Because you need a bunch of stuff that doesn't taste good on its own to make a cake. When's the last time you had a good cup of flour? Or a quarter of a cup of vegetable oil. Phyllis has had people take a tablespoon of olive oil. You'll feel better. Don't trust Phyllis when she's giving you things like that. I'm telling you right now, I'm warning you, don't trust her. And she'll laugh her head off. Try this candy from Taiwan. How about a few raw eggs? The raw materials of your life are the very ingredients you need for adventure, for victory. You go, man, I got a mess in my life. It's all right. There's no mess he can't clean up. You want to feel good about yourself? You want to get happy? Overcome. It won't be, you could win the lottery tomorrow. It could be a big one. You'll be happy for about a day and a half, maybe. That's the truth. That's the truth. Along with anything that you get that's a gift, comes a responsibility. Unless it's something waited for, prayed for, and unless you're ready for it, it will not be no good for you. There's some bad English for you, too. There's more freedom under his rule than there is in doing as I please. This is the kingdom where we rise by going low, we receive by giving, and we live by dying. That's what this kingdom looks like. And the world will respond to that. The enemies will respond to that. Get your love on. We've got to put this to the test. We've got to put this out there. We cannot fight in the same spirit, but we're not allowed to stay silent anymore. But the God of peace will soon smash Satan like that enemy needs smashed. The enemy of our souls wars against everything that leads to true freedom. One of the great tragedies of this present day is that for the most part, our educational systems have succeeded in removing the concept of a creator from people's way of thinking and daily lifestyle. Once that was done, teaching evolution, teaching different things, it's systematic. It's on purpose. It's not by accident. Universities have now become a major war zone, and it's intensified. It's intensifying right now. Right now. In doing so, society abandons its moral compass and loses the awareness of a code to live by. The moral compass is then replaced by what is popular in the moment, which constantly changes according to whoever has the microphone. Political correctness is the outcome. There it is again. Political correctness is the outcome. And it is here we find the evidence that stupidity is contagious. Insanity becomes flaunted as sanity, and the absence of moral responsibilities then becomes the doctrine of the day. Consider this. When there is no creator, there is no design. When the concept of design is removed from our thinking and our lifestyles, then we lose the sense of purpose. Got a lot of people that have lost their sense of purpose. We've got a lot of believers that have lost their sense of purpose. Get reconnected with your sense of purpose and you will come alive again. When purpose is out of the equation, so also is the idea of an eternal destiny. And by removing eternity from the thoughts of a people, we also lose the sense of accountability. And when accountability is gone, so is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Even if we don't understand that, it is. The fear of the Lord, we need to define it, though. We need to understand. We need revelation about what that is. For years, I've prayed that. I've come and spent hours praying, using that as a prayer platform, praying for the fear of the Lord, because it's a healthy thing. It's the only thing you should be afraid of or have fear, and it's not the fear that is bad. It's important at this point to emphasize that the fear of the Lord is significantly different than many interpret. It's not a fear that drives us from God, but one that draws us to Him. It is endearing in nature. And it is essential for New Testament believers. I'm almost finished. As it was in the Old Testament, this is wisdom. Wisdom is the essential building block for us to be able to fulfill our reason for being. Understanding how God created us and the purpose for our creation goes a long way in our correctly interpreting life on this planet without mistakenly questioning the goodness of God whenever we see a problem. In other words, every time we see a problem, we shouldn't question the goodness of God. We should go, hey, the goodness of God needs to come here. It's not questioning. We're way beyond questioning. We're like, oh, we need some goodness of God here. There's not a like, oh, I wonder why, you know, is God really good? Because look at this mess. Yeah, he's really good. And he wants to clean up this mess. We're the son. Creation's groaning, waiting for us to come alive. Don't like life right now? Well, you're part of the solution. Don't like situations? Change it. Bring change. Get creative. Pray. Remember Connie Dooley being here? Again, I don't know if you all heard her. This woman who did not have a title, position in her company. But because she starts getting dreams from the Lord and gives input to the CEO of the company, she has access like this multi-company firm, not just like one little building like we're used to around here. Some multiple companies in this that this man oversees, and he looks to her. He showed her. She didn't even know he's making a notebook of all the things she told him over the years. And she's questioning him when she finally gets a position in a significant raise, and she's like, "Why me? You're making me uncomfortable around my peers." They're like, "What the hell? Who are you?" I don't know. And she challenged, like, "Why are you doing that? Why me? Why are you offering me this position?" And he pulls out a notebook. Listen, folks, this is real. This is real life. This is a real person. He pulls out a notebook. This is a CEO of a major, major multiple company type of, I'm using the wrong language, but over many, many things. Because I wrote down all the words, all the things you gave me over the years. You would speak the truth. You never tried to just appease me, but you would tell me the truth about an idea. You would just tell me the truth about things. And I kept them all and treasured them all, and they guided me through all these years. OMG. Wow. Wow. What's in you? Go home and go, what? What is my potential? Not you, but you redeemed. You that all of creation is waiting and groaning. Hey, come alive. Break through the jar of darkness. You've got the key. For some, this may seem like a giant, too big to kill, an insurmountable task. Not so. All isms, whether socialism, communism, Hinduism, Buddhism, or the like, cower in the face of an authentic gospel. We have the authentic gospel. Get it out of your holster. You've got the real stuff. You've got the goods. You know how to love because you've been loved. You know how to forgive because he teaches us how to forgive. You know how to be creative because he's the creator and you're connected to him. Why wouldn't you be creative too? Why wouldn't you be? Are you blocked? Get unblocked. It's not normal. Are you stuck? Get unstuck. Pray, Lord, I got to get out of this rut. And I get into all kinds of situations in my life, all kinds of things. And especially when I'm working and creating and building and doing whatever, and I pray all the time. I go, wow, how do I get out of this mess and how do I fix this? Yeah. Some of you give me some real challenges to work on. And I get wisdom all the time. And some will say, how are you going to fix that? I don't know, I just will. Only I'm not taking confidence in myself, taking confidence in my testimony. I'm taking confidence in my experience because when I pray, the Lord shows me. I just get into it, go, okay, it's time. And all of a sudden, I know what to do. All of these things cower in the face of the authentic gospel, one of purity and power. Live it as Jesus lived it, say it as Jesus said it, and display it as Jesus displayed it. People will abandon everything inferior if they can but taste and see from the authentic gospel of the kingdom. Wow, that's so powerful. Let me read it again. Live it as Jesus lived it, say it as Jesus said it, and display it as Jesus displayed it. Again, Phyllis and I keep having these conversations. Like, there are Jesus words for this situation, Phyllis. We got to find them. I'm finally smart enough to stop giving her advice. As brilliant as I am. Yeah, none of that really works. As brilliant as I am, yeah. Amen, Al. I know. We do our best. I know. Jesus words go right into the heart of something that seems impossible and changes it. And we'll go for years dealing with situations in our families that are all around. I know they're real problems. They're real sticklers, difficult things. They're tough. I know. If you tell me, I'd be like, oh, that's bad. That's bad. That's hard. I'd agree with you. Great pastor that I am. You'd tell me like, oh, this is a mess. I'm like, oh, wow, that is, geez, wow. I don't know what you could do. But it's within us. All creation groans. Oh, come alive. Be all that you can be. And I know that chapter 8 has something to do with our glorified bodies. But okay, whatever. Let's pretend. Shiloh's not old enough to fly yet, but he flies his little helicopter around the living room. Someday, maybe he'll be a pilot. Every boy plays with his trucks. He drives trucks, and he doesn't have a license. Every little girl plays with her doll babies, and she's not old enough to have a baby. But until she's of age, what does she do? She pretends. I challenge you. Get a picture of who the sons and daughters of God are. Pretend. Get a picture of who you are supernaturally. Your Father in heaven will not rebuke you for that, I guarantee you. Do you rebuke your children for playing? You're like, thank God they're out from under my feet. They're finally playing together, right? You not go in there and go, all right, you kids, stop imagining. Knock it off. This is ridiculous. You don't do that. You encourage it. Live as Jesus lived. Say it as Jesus said it. Display it as Jesus displayed it. People will abandon everything inferior if they can but taste and see from the authentic gospel of the kingdom. We've got the goods. We have the real thing. Christmas has come to us. We have been given gifts. Let's look towards this next year. Let's open the packages. How ridiculous when we get gifts and we don't open the package. Open the package. Gifts of encounter. Gifts of finding out who he is. Gifts of being awakened. Let's pray. Did you have anything to add to that, Kevin? Like all over the place? Anybody else? Father, we just ask that you just seal these words today, to stir us up that we are the sons of God. We're the sons and daughters of God. Creation's groaning, crying out for us to become. We have a hurting world and culture we're living in, and we actually have the answer. We know how to love. We can reset the moral compass because we're connected to the Creator. We believe there's a Creator that loves us, calls us. Holy Spirit, tonight, even tonight, I just ask, you'll draw us to you, come to you, encounter you, be born of the Spirit, be baptized in the Spirit. I was thinking that tonight in worship. Oh, how sweet if the Spirit fall on us and fall on individuals. We need your power. We need to be transformed. We cannot live this Christian life in our naturalness and our humanness. We need supernatural impact and power. I ask for revelation. I ask for you to bring light where there's darkness. The Lord is in worship. I just believe that there are people that have been crying out. I ask for breakthroughs, for those prayers and for those things they've cried out for. Bless you, Lord Jesus.